Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? Give me undistracted devotion for only you. I desire dove's eyes. Ooh-wee, Jesus. Good evening, and good evening. Thank you so very much for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast. I'm Pastor Sherelle Pennington, live here in Atlanta, Georgia, representing the City of Roses and representing our very own Father, our very own Maker, Creator, the one who has made heaven and earth, the great I Am, Jehovah Jireh, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star, our Father. Holy Spirit, and we come tonight to exalt and magnify the name of the Lord. We thank you so very much for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast, and we would not be here tonight with you, you and you, if it had not been for the Butterfields, Stephen and Ann Butterfield, the pastors that are co-laboring with Archbishop Ruth W. Smith from Light of the World Christian Tabernacle and Light of the World Covenant Fellowship Ministries. And we just want to say thank you for opening up the door, giving us the opportunity to worship together on the Light of Portland broadcast. And we give you just so much. We are so grateful because fellowship is what holds the ship together. And so we want to make sure that we give honor where honor is due. And we would not be here right now if it had not been for our very own pastor, Kimberly Black in Portland, Oregon, who is holding up the banner, who is on the battlefield, who is doing all that she does to make sure that Light of Portland broadcast continues in my absence. And so I'm so grateful to her and to Elder Dante Farmer, who is part of Greater St. Stephen's Missionary Baptist Church. We are so grateful for the work that you all do. I am so grateful for the work that you all do. And so I want to make sure that you know that I continuously lift the Light of Portland up in prayer. I continually tell people about the Light of Portland broadcast. And I know that the Lord is doing great and mighty things through the Light of Portland broadcast.
Well, tonight, saints of God, we want to make sure that we bring forth the word of God. We want to make sure that you are instructed and you know that the Lord has you on his mind. We want to make sure that you know that prayer is the key to all relationship with the Lord. Talk to him. Have you talked to him today? Have you told him you love him? Have you asked him to forgive you of the mistakes that we all make? Have you said we love you today to your Father? And so tonight, we come together to worship the great I Am. And tonight, we have prayer. Tonight, we have some announcements. Tonight, we have our very own Pastor Kimberly Black that will be bringing the word forth tonight. And I am elated to be a part of the Light of Portland broadcast tonight. I'm elated that she asked me to preside. I'm elated that I get to fellowship and co-labor with my sister. And so I will not belabor the time that we have to spend together. So what we're going to do is I am going to bring our very own Pastor Kimberly Black on the air, who will do the announcements. Following that, we will have a song, and following that, we will have prayer. And after prayer, the very next voice you will hear is that of Pastor Kimberly Black, who will be bringing forth the word of God. Amen. I just want for each and every one of you to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth tonight. Pastor Black, I don't see your number, so press 1 on the phone so I can bring you live on the air. But I want to be here tonight fellowshipping with you, because like I said, it takes the fellows to bring together the ship, to hold it together. And so tonight, we want to make sure that we are worshiping together, that we are representing our Father, doing a great and mighty work on behalf of our Lord and Savior tonight. So tonight, we're going to go in prayer. Prior to that, we do have some announcements, and our very own Pastor Kimberly Black will be bringing the announcements, and there she is. I have her live on the air. Good evening, my sister. How are you this evening?
I am blessed. Good evening. Good evening to you, my sister, and praises be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's just truly an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to be able to worship with the Light of Portland broadcast family on tonight. We do truly give honor to God, and we thank God for all of those that work so diligently with us here in the City of Roses, our own Elder Dante Farmer and our own Sister Kathy Miniweather. We are just truly grateful to God for what they do to bless the ministry and to make sure that we continue to build up the kingdom of God. God has assigned each of them a work in building up the kingdom, and they are busy doing that work. And so I'm honored to be able to share with each of them. And tonight, our special guest, my friend and my brother, an intercessor who I love so much, is going to come and lead us to the throne of grace and just pray up a storm. And so, Elder, I love you and I appreciate you so much. Anytime I ask, he always says yes. And so I'm just truly excited about what the Lord has in store for the Light of Portland family tonight. But by way of announcements, and I'm going to be quick, the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church will be hosting a voting information session. This is a Zoom meeting. It will be held on Tuesday, October 13th at 6 o'clock p.m. For all of you Oregonians and those of you that live in Multnomah County, you do know for Oregon, the deadline to register to vote is Tuesday, October the 13th. And there's a lot of different measures on the ballot, a lot of different people that are wanting to be voted in. You are not sure of who and what and why. Please contact me for the Zoom information. I can text you the Zoom information, or I can email it to you. Just reach out to me before Tuesday. My email address is gsfmbc@yahoo.com. And that's going to be Tuesday at 6 o'clock p.m., October 13th, and that is a Zoom meeting. St. Paul will also be hosting a vegan soul food cooking demonstration. Now, anybody that has Facebook can participate in this event. That's going to be Saturday, October the 17th, on Facebook Live at 3 p.m., and that is St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. And you can get on Facebook on Saturday, October 17th at 3 o'clock p.m. Their Thrive Ministry will be hosting a vegan soul food cooking demonstration. Pastor Sherelle, those are all the announcements that we have. And I pray that the people of God would govern themselves accordingly.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Black. We are going to have a song of preparation. Following that will be our very own Elder Bruce Mitchell, who will bring us through the throne of grace through prayer. And then after that will be the word of God. Amen.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Father, we come now just lifting you up in this atmosphere. We're giving you glory and honor on this evening, Father God, for you are great and you are great to be praised. I stand in the gap tonight, Father God, praying, Father God, for this ministry, praying for the hands that touch this ministry, all that are affiliated with Light of Portland Broadcasting and its affiliation. We pray, Father God, tonight for those that are standing in the gap within this ministry. We pray for Pastor Kimberly Black, and we pray for Pastor Sherelle Pennington, Father God. We give glory right now, Father God, as we lift these women up, as we lift these powerful anchors, Father God, that continues to keep this ministry going. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, as we're in such a turbulent time right now, Father God, we come right now standing in the gap, Father God, praying for intercessors all over this country, Father God, praying for pastors and clergy that are standing in the gap during this difficult season, Father God. We come now asking you, Father God, that you would continue, Father God, to push them, Father God, continue to cover them, Father God, continue, Father God, to wrap your arms around them, Father God, as they're seeking to stand in the gap, Father God, as they're seeking, Father God, to stay in the trenches during this season, Father God. We come now, God, asking you, God, that we would hear you clearly in this season, Father God. We come now praying, Father God, that your voice, Father God, would be clear unto the ears of your people in this season, Father God. We pray now, Father God, as this racial injustice and equity is being seen and sought out, Father God, equality, Father God, we pray now, Father God, that justice would be heard, Father God, and justice would be had in this season, Father God, of United States, Father God. We come, Father God, just praying for a coming together, God. There is turbulence all around us, Father. And as we come, Father God, seeking, Father God, justice, as we come seeking equalness, Father God, we ask that you, God, would cover us and strengthen us through it all, God. Tonight, Father God, we pray for the church. See the church, Father God. I pray, God, that the church, the scattering, Father God, would be brought together, Father God, as there are some out, Father God, not knowing which way to go, Father God, not knowing which direction, God. But we're praying tonight, Father God, that you would bring them back, as your word says, that we draw to you, Father God, draw closer, God, that the people of God that are seeking and searching, Father God, would know you, Father God, and would come back to you, Father. Father, as schools are being reopened, God, we pray tonight, Father God, that things would be done carefully and mindfully, Father God. We pray, Father God, for clear direction, Father God, whether to send our children in or whether to keep our children home, Father God. Give us, Father God, the answers that we need, Father God, during this turbulent time, Father God. We're praying for children, Father God. We're praying for our young adults, Father God. We're praying for our parents during this season, Father God, that we wouldn't move too fast, Father God. We wouldn't shift too quick, God. We would be slow to speak in this season, God, but attentive to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, God. We're praying, Father God, for our homes. There's such a instability, Father God, as it is all across the nation, Father God. We have different ones shooting up neighborhoods, and it's like it's never been before, God. But you know, God, your word already told us, God, that it would be difficult times. So we pray tonight over this difficult season with the homes, God. We pray for structure within the household, Father God. We pray, Father God, for strong parents, Father God, standing on your word, oh God, standing, Father God, in the need, Father God. We pray tonight, Father God, that, Father God, that family units, Father God, would come together and not allow the little foxes, the little things to deter us and to cause us to trip up over little things, God. We pray for a strong band within the family, a threefold cord, God. As you said, it is not easily broken, Father God. We pray tonight, Father God, that the bonds of wickedness would be loosened, Father God, as the enemy has heightened his attack, Father God. We pray, Father God, that the eyes of your people, God, would be opened, that they would be enlightened to see the enemy coming in this season, Father God, that we would not, Father God, fall down, Father God, in this season. But, God, we would continue to be pushed back up, Father God. Father, we pray tonight, Father God, for those that are coming against us, our enemies, those that are fighting us tooth and nail, God. We pray, Father God, for them, God. We pray that you, God, would have mercy on them. We pray that you, Father God, will allow your grace to be over them, God. We pray tonight for our enemies, those that are against us, that are attacking us, God, that you would move in, Father God, in the midst of this, God. We pray, Father God, for the connection, Father God, from church and state and that, again, that those that are in neighborhoods throughout our cities, Father God, would again look for the church, Father God. They would look for the help through the church, through the pastors, through the lay people that are here, God. It's as if we're losing our connection, Father. Lead us, oh God. Guide us in this season, Father God, that we would not be off, Father God, but that we would be on target, God. Teach us when to move, Father God. Show us and direct our path, Father God, for we need you in this season like never before, Father God. As we come up on this very instrumental voting, Father God, we're praying, Father God, that we would align our prayers with heaven, God, that you, God, would give us direction as we go in and out of different candidates, Father God, that you would begin to show us, Father God, and speak to us, Father God, if this one should be chosen or that one should be chosen. Order our steps in you in this season, O God. Pray now, Father God, for the president, Father God, as you said that we are to obey those that have rule over us, that we are to pray for our leaders. So tonight, Father God, we pray for the president of the United States. We pray that he has a strong mind, Father God, within you, God. We pray, Father God, that his levelness, Father God, would come from the Holy Spirit. We pray, Father God, that you would give him direction, Father God. We pray that you, Father God, would show him the way, Father God. We pray for the staff, Father God, as it's a very a strenuous time with the Congress and those that you've placed before us to make decisions for us and to make decisions concerning resources, Father God. So we pray, Father God, for the body of Congress, Father God, and those, the aides and all that help into this, Father God. We pray, Father God, for the right mind, God, one mind, one direction, Father God, that they would see and hear, Father God, and know, Father God, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the direction that you're sending, God. God, give us, Father God, direction in this season, Father God. And Father, as I close in prayer tonight, Father God, I pray, Father God, for the strengthening of this broadcast, Father. There may be somebody out there tonight, Father God, listening, God, in need, not sure which way to go, Father God. So I pray now, Father God, that they would, Father God, hear, God, and that they would move, Father God, under the unction of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Shift and do it now, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you now. Call it done by faith.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our Lord God. Thank you so much, Elder Mitchell, for leading us to the throne of grace and just praying and interceding on behalf of this nation. I just count it an honor to be able to share with you on tonight. Thank God for each of you that are on this call tonight. I'm going to go to the book of Luke. If you were with me this morning, don't hang up because the Lord showed me something else from our study time this morning. So don't hang up thinking, oh, I heard this already. Don't hang up. You're going to miss it. Amen. Let's pray. Let's go before the throne of grace. Father, I thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, and our hearts have received. And Father, I pray now that you, oh God, will continue to be in the midst of us. I ask that you would give hearing to the hearer tonight and give a do right spirit to the doer. Anoint us afresh, oh God, that we may, Father, not only be hearers of your word, but doers. Now, God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. Father, I realize that your word is life building, that your word is sometimes bitter and sweet. Your word gives us correction and it gives us direction. Your word, Father, heals us, and your word, Father, restores us. So, God, we thank you tonight for your word. And, God, we stand as empty vessels before a full fountain. And, Lord, you are that fountain. And we say, fill us up, Lord God. Fill us up with your spirit, Lord God, that we would hear and receive and do what your word has commanded us to do. And God, we'll be so careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just for a few moments, I want to call your attention to the Gospel of St. Luke. Amen. St. Luke chapter 6 is where we're going to be calling our attention to. Just want to kind of give us a little bit of background. Luke is the writer of this book, and we know that Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. When we are sick, We get up and we go to Kaiser, or we go to Providence, or we go to Good Samaritan, and some in one of those buildings somewhere there is a doctor with the first name or the last name Luke, and so just imagine your physician being a writer of one of the gospels. My God, how blessed you would be to have a physician that preached and taught the gospel and that knew Jesus personally. He wrote this gospel to the Gentiles to provide a full and accurate record about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven. And so what we're getting ready to look at right now is a conversation that Jesus had with the 12 disciples and the multitude of people that followed him around. You do know that Jesus did not have four walls that he went to every Sunday and every Wednesday. His church was the fields, the mountains, the plains. His church was by the Sea of Galilee. Yeah, his church was by the highways and hedges. That's where his church was. And so we find here in chapter 6, and I'm going to read verse 12, and I'm going to talk a little bit about verse 12, and then I'm going to jump down, because we are living in such a time that this word is a right now word, and we need to hear it, and we need to do it. Amen. I want to give this message a title, and for those of you that are taking notes, it's four letters. WIFM. That's the title of my message tonight. WIFM. You looking at your upside the wall and looking at your couch and looking at the dog, looking at the cat, and say, what is she talking about? WIFM. Well, it is an acronym. And the acronym stands for What's In It For Me. So that's the title of my message tonight. What's In It For Me? Let's read Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and I am reading from the New International Version. The Bible says, one of those days, Jesus went up to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God, all right? When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, who he also designated as apostles. I'm going to stop right there, and I want to pause and call your attention to verse 12. Jesus looked for an opportunity to spend time alone prayer. Saints, if we've ever needed to pray, now is the time. We are getting ready to do an election. You heard Elder Mitchell pray. We're getting ready to go to the polls. We need to know who needs to be in what seat, all the way from the White House down to the janitor's house. We need to know who needs to sit where. We need to know what measure to pass.
And so if now is, if it's ever been a time for the body of Christ to pray, it is now. Jesus spent time praying. It says the entire night he spent in earnest prayer. The Bible tells us here that the earnest prayer produced a tremendous result. Earnest prayer, the earnest prayer, prayer that was from the heart, prayer that, caused some tears to flow, a prayer that, was not just with words, but with the Spirit's help, because sometimes we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what to ask for. And my Bible says that the Spirit maketh intercession on our behalf with mourning. Amen. We also know that James 5 and 16 tells us that we must confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we may be healed. And then it of the righteous man is powerful and effective. And so of spending time in prayer, what's in it for me? Spending time in prayer gives us power. It gives us power, and it helps us to do right. It helps us to think right. You see what happened after Jesus spent the night in prayer? He chose the 12 to become his apostles. Then he healed many that were sick, and then he preached his most quoted sermon. And we're going to get to that in just a few moments. If Jesus, the perfect Son of God, spent a whole night in prayer to the Father and on in order to make an important decision, how much more do we, with all of our weakness, with all of our failures, with all of our imperfections, need to spend nights in prayer and in intimate communion with our Heavenly Father? Yeah, amen goes right there, saints of God. We don't need to wait on the church to call a shut-in. We don't need to wait on the church to call a fast. You've got the power within your side of your belly to say, I'm pushing back the plate. I'm turning off the TV. I'm turning off the cell phone because I need to hear from God. I've got some decisions I need to make, and I don't want to make those decisions out of my flesh. Yeah. So many divorces, they didn't pray first. Yeah, so many lawyers, doctors, and judges, and even the president of the United States were aborted because mama didn't pray first. You better come on here. So we need to take time to pray. People have closed businesses because they didn't spend time in prayer. People married the wrong person. Ah, my God, because they did not spend time in prayer. So my brothers and my sisters, what's in it for me? James told us that if we will have power, we will be effective. Yeah, what's in it for me? Now I want you to look with me to verse 27. You hold on, Greater St. Stephen's. Don't y'all lose me. Don't y'all lose me. This was our Sunday school lesson this morning, and it blessed me in such a way that I had to share it with the people of God tonight. Here we find in Luke verses 27 through 36, we find a conversation. Jesus, again, having a conversation. Jesus is having a conversation. And in my Bible, it's all in red. And so that lets us know, because we learned that in Sunday school as children, that any writing in your Bible that's red is Jesus talking. So we find Jesus talking. He had been up on the mountain all night long. He had been praying all night long. When he got off the mountain, he appointed the disciples and made them apostles, saying, go and preach. Go and teach. Go and baptize in my name. Go and make more disciples. He did that, and he healed some folks. And he did all of that so that God would get the glory. Then we find him on the plain. This is almost like the sermon we find in Matthew chapter 5. The only difference is this sermon is on the plains. Matthew chapter 5, where we find the Beatitudes, it was on the mount, all right? And so this sermon right here, Jesus, he is talking about God's kingdom. He's given us a set of instructions for us to live by. The first part of these four blessings and four woes, that if you look at earlier in that verse, in that chapter, right after verses 17 all the way down to 27, you find those blessings and those woes. Blessings is God's favor and protection. Woes are great sorrow or distress. These instructions were given to the body of Christ, given to every believer. If you call yourself a Christian, I need you to say right now, lift up my dad say, when you're in court, you lift up your right hand. Lift up your right hand and say, this was for me. Yeah, that's right. Lift up your right hand and say, this is for me. Look at what the Bible says. We find 8 action words in here. He says, but if you are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If anyone slap you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to others, to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them that lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are thankful and who are unthankful and wicked. I'm sorry. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Here we find Jesus telling us how to live, how to get along with others. I told the church family this morning, and I heard you, Elder Mitchell, praying for our enemies, that we always want to think that our enemies are people that are there causing us physical harm. Well, let me tell you, we have some enemies that don't touch us, but they do mishandle us. They talk to us any kind of way. They're rude. They're disrespectful. Oh my God! Come on here. We've got some enemies that they always give us a hard time. We even have some enemies that we hang around and we really don't realize that they're enemies, but we know that they're toxic people. Yeah, because we normally don't cuss, but when we hang around them, we find ourselves cussing. Come on, somebody. We've got some toxic people in our lives. We're normally not looking to fornicate and commit adultery, but there is that one, that can make your bell ring, and that's a toxic individual. Brothers and sisters, that one is your enemy. Yeah. People who make it difficult for you to accomplish your task or your goals. For people who seek to harm you while promoting their own self-interest. Y'all, we got some enemies. We got some enemies. And quiet as is kept, enemies is living inside of us. Oh, Pastor Black, you didn't say that. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. But God has given us some instructions tonight, saints. He's given us some instructions tonight. I want us to look here. I want you to understand that even though that God has commanded us and we are obligated to observe this, there are some things we need to understand about this word, love your enemies. This is not a means to love them emotionally. He's not telling you to love them emotionally. You do not have to hang around people that abuse you and mistreat you. You don't have to hang around. You know what? The Bible says you love the sinner, but you hate the sin. So he's not telling us to love them emotionally. He's saying to us that we must have a genuine care or a genuine concern for their well-being. Most of all, we must be concerned about their eternal salvation. Now, my Bible says that God is not flat concerning his promise and that he doesn't want anybody to perish. And saints, if you have been saved, if you have been sanctified, if you have been filled with the precious Holy Ghost, God is looking to you to go out and compel men and women and boys and girls to come to him. He's telling us today, you are the salt and the light of the earth. The only way that people will get to know that God is God and Jesus is the Son and the Holy Spirit is our helper and our comforter is if we live that life before them. You see, Jesus lived a life that people wanted to model. His words were words that people were looking for listening to. His words were worth listening to. Is that you today? Is your life a life that people want to model? Are your words worth listening to? Yeah, we have an obligation, people of God. God is trying to hear. He's trying to help us live up to the higher standards of living to emulate the Father. We are to love differently than the world. Our behavior has to be different than that of the world. You see those action words there? Those action words are listen. In the King James, it says hear. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Black, to listen to hear? Because everybody is not a good listener, and everybody cannot hear. Now, I'm not saying there's something wrong with your physical hearing, but the ear of your heart, oh, my God, has so much wax buildup. It is death because you refuse to hear the voice of God speaking. But today I declare and decree, spiritual healing in the hearts and the minds of God's people. And to hear, my brothers and sisters, means to be present, to take heart, to pay attention, to be held accountable, to do exactly what the word says do. I understand that when God gives a command, sometimes that command is challenging. Sometimes that command is something we scratch in our head and we shake in our head and we walk in the floor saying, I can't do it. But can I tell you, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So my brothers and sisters, know that when God gives a command, he gives the capability. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. All things are working together for our good. Don't let your mind talk you out of a blessing. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get to the reward in just a moment. I'm going to get to the reward. I've got a few more moments. I'm going to get done. But we've got to be genuinely concerned for their good and their eternal salvation. My brothers and sisters, when I look at this passage of scripture and I look at this term, love your enemies, one of the other things that God was saying to us is that we cannot stand by idly while evildoers continue to do wicked deeds. Church, if it's wrong, it's wrong, and we just got to say it. But there's always a way to say it. My mama said it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. And saints of God, your speech, our speech needs to be seasoned with grace. We need to use the word of God when we're talking to rebuke people, when we're talking to set people in order, when we're talking to encourage people, when we're talking to build them up. We must always use the word of God, for the word of God is like building. The word of God will provoke people. The word of God will direct people. The word of God will transform the hearts and minds of his people. So here we find in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 31, eight things we're supposed to do. We're supposed to listen. We're supposed enemies. We're supposed to do good to those who hate us. We're supposed to bless those that curse us. We're supposed to pray for those that hurt us. We're supposed to offer. Now, let me pause here and talk about this offer. Now, I told the church this morning that this was not a physical altercation. If someone slaps this is let's get outside the box here, because for all of our lives we've taken this verse and we've taken it to be literally. People are not just going to walk up to us and slap us. Well, Jesus, let me you know some. But what the point is here is as Christians, as believers of Jesus Christ, as children of the Most High God. What he's saying right here is you need to be able to take an offense. You know what? I say it all the time. To do the work of the ministry, you got to have some tough skin. Every little thing can't hurt your feelings. I you know, when we work, I tell the church family, you know, that when I get to church on Sunday or when I get to church and it's time for worship, I can't talk about the grass. I can't talk about the paint. I can't talk about, you know, all that. And I love all that. But my mind is focused on doing the work, hearing from God, and making sure that our worship experience is conducted in an orderly flow where the Spirit of God has free course. I cannot have my mind just confused with all the other things. And saints of God, there comes a time in our lives that folks, they get offended because I can't laugh and talk with them. That's why I said you got to have some tough skin to do this work. So what he's telling us right here is that we have to, can't be punks in this game, in this walk. Okay? Amen. You got to be able to take an offense every now and then. And I said this morning that there are some relationships that we might need to go back to because we were easily offended. Now that we have matured and we have grown in the faith, we need to go back and take a risk. Because maybe they've grown. Maybe they've changed. Maybe God has spoke to their heart and they have heard him. Oh, what kind of work can y'all do now? Oh, my God. So that's what that meant right there. That's what that right. So we're supposed to offer that the other cheek. Take a risk. Go back into the presence of that person that offended you. You have grown and you have matured. You're going to handle it more different. You're not going to cuss them out like you did last time. Because now you know what you're supposed to do. Then he says, give to. If someone asks you for something, give it to them. Don't expect to get something back in return. And then the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I told you the title of my message is What's in It for Me. Uh-huh. WIFM. What's in it for me? I shared with the church family this morning that on Friday night, our bishop, presiding president of the General Baptist Convention of the Pacific Northwest, shared with us on Friday night that many of us are missing out on the best blessing that we could ever receive because we do not follow Luke 6:27-31. Okay, I hear y'all got quiet. Y'all done got quiet on me. I hear you. You're thinking. That's good. Praise the Lord. Well, Jesus said, if you're going to act like the world, that's what he's saying in verse 32, 33, 34. If you're going to act like the world, why should you get credit? Why should you get a reward? Why should you get a blessing? Well, I hear you. I'm glad you asked me, Elder Mitchell. What's the blessing? What's the reward? Get in your Bible. Look at Psalms 103, and I'm done after this, because this is what's in it for me. Uh-huh. This is the I heard you. What's in it for me? If you do Luke 6:27-31, and if you don't do like the world does in verses 32-34. And you show compassion and mercy and forgiveness, God promised he would do this. Look at Psalms 103. This is the reward, y'all. Psalms 103, verses 3 through 5. He says he will forgive your sins, every one of them. He said he will heal your diseases, every one of them. He said he will redeem your soul from hell. He will save your life. He said he will crown you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He will wrap you in goodness. That's an eternal beauty. And then he said he will renew your youth, always young in his presence. That's what's in it for you, saints of God. If we do these eight actions that are mentioned in Luke chapter 6, if we do what is found here in Luke chapter 6, God promised us the fulfillment of Psalms 103, verses 3 through 5. I want to encourage you, body in Christ. I want to encourage you tonight. This is what's in it for us. This is what's in it for me. Psalms 103. We've got to be busy doing what God has commissioned and commanded us to do. It's a very uncomfortable call of action. Don't nobody like confrontation. But I want you to know that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. I want to encourage you tonight. Don't miss out on your blessings. This was a challenging word. So I'm going to pray that we can adhere to the word tonight, that we can apply this word to our lives so that we can reap the benefits of Psalms 103, verses 3 through 5. Your word is life-building. I thank you, Father, that your word is thought-provoking. Your word, Father, it is challenging to us, Father. Your word elevates our expectation of living holy, living righteous. Father, your word, God, leads us and guides us. Father, our reward is not coming from man. Our reward is coming from you. And we must live a life that glorifies you. And we must live a life that emulates your mercy and your grace. Father, because when we were your enemies, you showed us mercy and you showed us grace. So help us do the same for our enemies, Father. Help us, God, to apply this word to our hearts that we might not sin against thee. We love you tonight, Father. We appreciate you and we adore you. And we thank you, oh God, for your loving kindness and your tender mercy that you've shown towards us. And may we extend your mercy and extend your grace to other people that we come in contact with, that you may get the glory, that you may get the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank God. And amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, this concludes our time of worship tonight. Thank you to Pastor Sherelle for presiding for us tonight. Thank you, Elder Mitchell, for just leading us to the throne of grace. I hope and pray that something was said tonight that has stirred up your heart, that has stirred up your mind, that has caused you to want to seek God the more, that has intensified your love relationship with him, that has put a spirit of prayer down on the inside of you. I pray that this week you will spend some time, intimate communion time with God, and that you would begin to walk according to Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. Well, as I say each week, I love you all, and there is nothing you can do about it. Amen. Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister. Until next week, may the peace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you, hence, now, and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.